This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Be one of us.
It's too smart and much slang.
They're all the parts.
It's time for sci-fi scream on Joy 94.9.
Everything to do.
This is a Sci-Fi and Scream film review with the Screamer on Joy 94.9. May contain spoilers.
Well, let's hope he's just romantic.
You being so reclusive in everything is probably only going to make people more interested in your music.
Yeah. What a drag.
Shouldn't she be sleeping in a coffin somewhere?
I'm really, really hungry.
Could you smell it all the way from LA?
We're gonna have so much fun together.
We gotta go. Right now.
Come in.
Is that the really good stuff?
Precisely.
Typo.
Okay.
lucky in love, though, if I may say so.
Two people that have to be together but can only live apart. Only Lovers Left Alive. Only Lovers Left Alive, a film by Jim Jarmusch. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9 with The Screamer, and I'm going to talk about Only Lovers Left Alive. Now, it was released in 2013, and it will be in Oz in April 17, 2014. Only Lovers Left Alive is directed and written by Jim Jarmusch. It stars Tom Hiddleston as Adam, Tilda Swinton as Eve, Mia Wasikowska as Ava, John Hurt as Marlowe, Anton Yelchin as Ian, Jeffrey Wright as Dr. Watson, and Slimane Darzi as Bilal, and Yasmin Hamdan as Yasmin. It's considered a romance drama vampire film written and directed by Jarmusch, and of course it was nominated for a Palme d'Or, in fact, at the 2013 Cannes Film Festival, which is interesting. Only Lovers Left Alive is a romanticist's version of pop culture and rock and roll culture from the American echelons, from the American consciousness and the American dream. The American dream gone wrong. It does, after all, have part of the film set in Detroit, Michigan. Only Lovers Are Left Alive sees Adam. And Adam is there. He's there from the beginning of the film, pale and damp looking. He's a mixture of pain and suffering, of guilt, and of narrow shoulders hunched. It's Tom Hiddleston at his arrogant best, and his self-loathing and self-pitying best, and he drags his feet around a jumble yard, a jumbling, stumbling garage, lawn, yard sale of Americana, of detritus, of debris, of instruments, of amplifiers, of fuzz box, of guitar pedals, of Grishas, of Stratocasters. Ugh, it's just a mess. It's like his life must be wired to different parts, messy, old TVs, old instruments, of some value, of course, but yeah, run down, dilapidated, a demise of what was once, one would imagine, quite the cutting, suave figure of a debonair and dangerous soul. A man with no soul, a vampire in fact. On the other side of the world of Only Lovers Left Alive, we have Eve. The Eve? I'm not sure, but it is Tilda Swinton. And if there's one thing that Tilda does well, she does chameleon, she does goddess, she does princess, she does witch, and she does bitch so well. With that fine porcelain skin, there's not a single mark on it. Not even a freckle. And with her shocking white hair of dreaded mass in this film, she is shocking. She looks so pale in this that you can't help but think there's a ghost amongst us. Resides in the also fallen down and dilapidated alleyway upon alleyway, nook upon cranny. Tangiers, it's known. At first I thought it was Jerusalem, but I thought, no, the streets aren't as crowded and the people seem a bit more humble. It doesn't seem as threatening and ominous and dangerous as other places in that part of the world. And Tangiers has that cult recipe, of course, the place where Paul Bowles, the writer, and his deranged wife used to hang. Homosexuals living together but couldn't live together. Lesbian and homosexual denying who they were, but writers trying to make a living out of books and loving who they wanted to, men and women. Only Lovers Left Alive is a turn of the key, is a tip of the hat to all that's gone before. And back in Detroit, at the run-down demise of what was once a booming capital of Americana, of cars, of enterprise, we now have Adam. Adam, the washed-out vampire, living alone and sad and dejected in his humble abode. Well, not so humble the contents. All those musical instruments are worth a lot of money. A lot of money. In this abode, living alone, he's visited. Visited by Anton Yelchin's character Ian. And Ian's the dude. He's like the roadie, he's like the drug dealer. And instead of drugs, he deals to Tom Hiddleston's character Adam. He deals the collectible and the eclectic and the most sought after and the most rarest of musical instruments. from humbucks to all sorts, to famous Greshes from 1956. And he knows the dates, he knows their history. They're these beautiful parcels he brings to Adam, and Adam pays him big wads of money, well-worn wads of money, Americana, the greenback. He pays him handsomely, he pays him well. But he has to keep it quiet, because Adam is apparently mysterious and ambiguous as he is. He's also mysteriously a very famous, perhaps the composer to some of the most famous pieces of music of all time. He references Schubert and Brahms and Paganini. He even plays a Stradivarius Paganini piece later on in the film, quite eloquently and expertly. Perhaps he is him. Perhaps he's John Lennon. Perhaps he is Stradivarius himself. Perhaps he's Bach. Bach, there's a picture of him on the wall. Perhaps he's Handel, there's a picture of Handel. Perhaps he's Chopin, or Satie, or Debussy. He could be any of those things. Perhaps he is Jim Morrison, like I thought he might have been. Or could have been. And Tilda is Eve. She's in Tangiers, she's worried about her eternal lover, but they can never live together, it seems. So she calls Adam on her Apple phone, and we see Apple product placement everywhere in the movie. Calls him up, "How are you, darling?" She says, "He's not well. He's not happy. He's alone. He's so miserable that he, spoiler alert, has to procure something very, very delicate and very important. A wooden bullet made from the densest wood with a shell made from brass. Ian gets that for him, of course. Just the one bullet. Just the one lonely wooden bullet for the last lonely vampire man. The first man, Adam." Back in Tangiers, we have John Hurt as Christopher Marlowe. Really? That's right. And, of course, we have Bilal, who is the procurer of good blood from a French doctor. Now, of course, Eve realizes she needs to fly to her Adam. But she can only do that, obviously, with transit bookings, where the flights only connect at night and only fly at night. Fair enough, she is a vampire, and no doubt allergic to daylight. They haven't broken with that particular trope and particular tradition in this film. Meanwhile, Adam the first man, goes to a Dr. Watson as Dr. Faust, dressed in ancient scrubs, in a local hospital in Detroit to procure good American blood in nice silver canisters. They look like thermoses of something special, maybe black coffee, not blood. In any case, that's how they survive the two. In different parts of the world, in different time zones, almost different times in history. But now she has to fly to her lover, so there she does. She goes to see Adam in Detroit, and they are, you know, reunited. And it's very moving, the scenes. They're a very touching couple, with the age difference between the actors. One would think that wouldn't be possible, but they're very, very, very sincere with one another, and very, very delicate, and very understanding. It's like, you would know someone for that long. You would know them that long in that way. It makes sense somehow. So they're joined together, but then see who should turn up. Ava. Who is Ava? Well, she's the sister, apparently. They are shared in blood. They are connected in blood, her and Eve. And that's played by Mia Wasikowska, Australia's own. She turns the world tipsy-turvy, upside down, and all sorts of panic starts to ensue that causes a lot of drama for this film. Drama that probably maybe was an afterthought, maybe, because it's more of a slow and perhaps slightly insipid romantic drama in itself. It's really about two people that have to be together but can only live apart. Only Lovers Left Alive celebrates. It's a romanticist, as I said, fan letter of love. A love letter from Generation X. A love letter about all those beautiful things in literature, art and culture that are mainly American, but certainly Eurocentric. From Byron to Shelley, to Mary Wollstonecraft, to Christopher Marlowe, to Buster Keaton, to William Burroughs, to Edgar Allan Poe. You know, to Brahms, to Schubert, to Franz Kafka, Joe Strummer's picture on the wall. Adam says he has no heroes. "I have no heroes," he says, when Tilda says, "Have your heroes, what about them?" She wants him to stay alive. He dismisses that. But then you see the wall with all those pictures, all those framed photographs cut from paper, or personal photographs that he's taken himself, and you think, of course he has heroes. There they all are. Don't give up, Jarmusch, don't give up. There's even Neil Young there in the far corner. Now, this is a film you can really geek out to if you love amplifiers, if you love old antique guitars, if you love traditional rock and roll, and your heart flutters when you hear those three bars two-step with the back roll drum. That's right, Motown. That sound of Detroit, Motor City. Now, Motor City now is run down, is desolate. The demise of it is pretty down and dire, and there's not a lot left there to really be grateful about or to celebrate. But in this disheveled, damp, run down, disengaged, you know, debauchery and place where Adam calls home, there is something to celebrate. He takes us back to the time when you can almost hear the cars revving, the thunder rolling, the motors running. The good times when Henry Ford was king and all the workers played a part. But that was before Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and cracked, and now the homes are empty, and now there is a rock bar with some live music, but there's not a lot. You very rarely see anybody walking in the streets. Mind you, most of it is filmed at night. And there's even a little tip of the hat towards more recent music in the last 10 to 15 years. And that's with Jack White. They do a drive-by, him and Eve in a car, driving by to see where Jack White's birthplace is. He is, after all, as Adam says, the seventh son of his mother's seven sons. And that parody's the truth. And of course, I laughed at one of the little statements that Eve makes, or Tilda Swinton. I'm more of a Stax Records girl, when Adam says to her, "Do you want to go and see Motor City, the museum?" Anyway, Only Lovers Left Alive is really, well, perhaps it should be called Only Vinyl Junkies Left Alive, Jim Jarmusch and a Bunch of Friends. But the good thing about this film, apart from the delightful look of the movie, the cinematography is just divine, and the colours and the swampiness, the turgid, you know, bled out coloration is lovely. It is a great tone. It is nighttime mostly. Now, apart from that, you finally get to see the thrill for me, and the good thing is Jarmusch finally does a film that has a fully developed female character. We haven't seen that in such a long time, perhaps not even since Down by Law. That's going back. And maybe some of the vignettes from A Night on Earth, which of course he didn't do alone. I think we can say safely that, look, Ghost Dog finally has a companion piece, and even Dead Man. But they were about one person. They were about men. It was about that lonely search that men believe they have it all on their own. But men don't have that lonely search, and I think that's what Jim Jarmusch has discovered. He's discovered, in my point of view, that men don't suffer alone. Not fools, and not gladly either. Men don't go through this artistic wasteland on their own when times are tough and when they're getting older and a bit past it. Oh, they might think they do, but with all their navel gazing, little do they know they have an opposite. Little do they know that there are women out there that go through the same thing, just differently. And Only Lovers Left Alive, to me, says that togetherness is better than apartness. So I'm giving this bonding movie and pop culture Generation X feast, I'm giving this a thumbs up Byron Shelley, a top one. Apart from the humans as zombies, which is kind of funny but slightly irritating, and apart from the references in pop culture that were a bit too obvious, I mean, how many times can you diss Shakespeare and mention Byron, Lord Byron, all in one film? Too many times. I think it's a bit dry. But in any case, look, overall, the sense and sensibility of this film is absolutely refreshing, and it parches the quenched thirst of anyone. And the music soundtrack is intriguing and wonderful. It includes people like Wanda Jackson with Charlie McCoy and Kent Westbury, and it has some fabulous Islamic and Sufic music as well to rumble along to by the Casbah Rockers with Pat Jabbar and Abdelaziz Alamari. And also, it has something interesting. Of course, Jim Jarmusch's own band, his threesome, The Squirrel. And don't forget, there's a bit of Niccolo Paganini performed by Charles Yang. Oh, some good music here, including Can't Hardly Stand It with Charlie Feathers and Jerry Huffman. Good stuff. So look, if you want to get your rockabilly rock on, and tip your hat to all those greats, then this is the film for you. Only Lovers Left Alive. I'm giving it a 3 out of 5. I definitely am going to look up the soundtrack. Only Lovers Left Alive will be out through Madman Pictures right around Australia, internationally distributed by Sony Pictures. It is in English. It costs $7 million. It's 122 minutes long. It's a United Kingdom/Germany production. It came out May 25th in Cannes of 2013, was released in the UK on February 21st, 2014. The studios recorded Picture Company and Pandora Films, editing by the wonderful Alfonso Gonsalves, with cinematography by Yorick Lasu, music by Squirrel and other artists, also Joseph Van Wissem. It stars Tom Hiddleston, Tilda Swinton, Amir Wasikowska, John Hurt, and Jeffrey Wright, to say a few, and written by Jim Jarmusch, produced by Jeremy Thomas and Reinhard Brundig. Of course, finally, it's brought to you, directed by Jim Jarmusch. Only Lovers Left Alive. This is Sonia, and you've been listening to Sonia the Screamer on Joy 94.9 Sci-Fi and Scream.
Here comes a candle to light your bed, and here comes a chopper to chop off your head. Good night, folks, and if you're not decapitated, remember to tune in next time for Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.